This is Alicia, and welcome to the College Life Podcast. The College Life Podcast is here to provide you with ideas on how college students can design their life, be mindful and intentional about what they're doing while they're in college. We will also interview people who have already graduated from college, who currently work at a college, and current college students. Each guest will share their story, their struggles, their successes, and offer you tips on how to take ownership and make the most of your time while you're in college. Let's get to it. So again, thank you so much for being willing to tell your story about your college experience. So just to get started, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, introduce yourself, your name, and where you grew up and what you're currently working on.
So my name's Carlos. Where I grew up in a small town, not even a city, Central Florida. It was called Lake Panasoffkee. An incredibly small place. We don't even have a red light. Maybe we do now. Not sure. What do I currently do now? I work in student affairs. I am a hall director in charge of two buildings at the University of Colorado Boulder.
So what were your degrees in college?
Oh, so my undergrad degree was in psychology. I had a minor in communications, and then went to grad school at the University of Maryland. Well, I guess I should say went to Florida State University for undergrad. I went to University of Maryland for grad school, where I got a degree in higher education and student affairs.
So what was your initial kind of decision? Like, why did you decide to go to college?
Yeah, so for me, it was very interesting. I was the first person in my family to graduate from high school. And it was kind of something that was kind of expected, like a logical next step. A good number of my friends from high school were going to college. And I was like, oh, I guess that's kind of what you do next. I was lucky enough to get a scholarship out of high school that would pay for college. So, you know, I just decided, yeah, college is where, you know, kind of the next step in my progression. There was not really any kind of plan. Like, I didn't necessarily talk to my family about, you know, taking the SAT or the ACT or anything. We just kind of, you know, just made the assumption that, yeah, sure, going to college, that's what you need to do. And for me, like, I took the ACT, I think, the night after a football game, and I didn't study for it, and all of these things that now, as someone who works in higher education, I think of like, wow, I really wasn't doing myself any favors. But it's just interesting to reflect back on that, and yeah, it was kind of moved through. I knew I wanted to get away from home, so I was going to go to a college that was not super far away. It was about maybe an hour, 45 minutes away from where I grew up, but I know I didn't want to stay in our small town, and I wanted to get out. So that's kind of my progression through college, or initially. My first year of college kind of didn't go so hot, I guess you could say. I moved away. I lived off campus with my best friend, another friend from high school. We lived in an apartment, and for me, like, it was the first time I ever had freedom to do whatever I wanted, go to school whenever I wanted, I make my own schedule, I can hang out all night if I want to, I can go to sleep. I mean, I just really wasn't mentally prepared for that. I wasn't emotionally mature enough to have that freedom, and it was pretty difficult for me. I was very involved in high school, a lot of activities, sports, and the college I went to, I wasn't involved at all. I just went to school and I came back home and played video games with my friends. And it was weird for me because I had nothing that kind of attached me to school. It was just kind of there hanging out. So it was very interesting. I tell people that I had a very thriving social life my freshman year. My roommates and I, we probably had a party pretty much every day of the week. We had people over. So for me, like, I definitely took full advantage of the social aspects of school, but not necessarily focus on the actual reason why I was there. And my I guess my first semester of school, I made my first D ever in my life, and I didn't know how to rectify that in my mind because I'd always done really well, and this was a clear, you know, example of maybe I'm not doing the things that I need to do to help myself be successful. So that was kind of my first year of college. I grew up in Florida, so we had three hurricanes in a row this year that kind of led into summer break, and I think they wound up canceling school for a good bit of time. So I was able to go home and really reflect on, you know, what am I doing in college? Because I, at this point, really had no clue. I was making bad grades. I had a bunch of friends, but that really wasn't helping me out. So I went home and I really tried to think about what is it that I want out of my life, out of my college experience, because I just felt like I was wasting money, wasting time. I was, like I said, a first person to go to school for my family, so I couldn't, you know, even talk to them about, you know, what was it like at school. I didn't fill out the FAFSA because I didn't know that you had to do that. I was, I work at nighttime and just was barely able to make money to pay for rent. And that was a weird thing for me because I thought I have this scholarship and it's going to pay for everything. And really it didn't. It didn't pay for the vast majority of college at all. So it was just a really weird time. I was someone who didn't grow up with a lot of money. And the thought of going to financial aid and asking for money was a weird thing. I didn't want to go there because I didn't want people to know that, like, I didn't have money for school. And now, you know, again, working at a college, I think that's what the vast majority of people are doing. But I was just too prideful and I didn't have anyone to kind of give me that inside, the insider's knowledge to be able to navigate kind of school. And it was tough. So that summer when I went home, I thought, this isn't going to work out for me. I'm not mature enough to be on my own. I don't have enough money to live on my own and to go to college. So at that point, I made a decision that I was going to join the military, and that kind of like changed the trajectory of kind of my path. So, yeah.
First year. So many questions just with that. So whenever you first went to college and you were kind of transitioning from high school to college, you said that you were really involved in high school and then you had the social life in college, but you weren't necessarily like involved with the school community. Did you even know about involvement? I'm curious.
No, I didn't. So I had a very narrow scope of what college was, an idea. So in my mind, I thought college is just where you go to class. I didn't know that there was extracurricular things. I would see flyers and stuff, but I would think, well, why are you doing that? Like, I'm here to go to school. Why would I go to a football game or, at this point, basketball game. So, like, I guess I in some way knew that it existed, but I didn't think that's what college was about at all.
I would also be curious about, like, so you talked about not really being interested or not wanting to go to, like, the financial aid office. Like, can you remember what you thought about the financial aid office? Like, what your perception of that was?
So my perception was that is a place that people go when they're poor. And I didn't grow up with money, and I didn't want anyone to know that I was poor.
Interesting.
So in my mind, I made that connection that really wasn't there. And I think I only ever went to the financial aid's. No, I went to the cashier's office. It wasn't even the financial aid office.
Yeah.
Because I needed to pay, you know, tuition or class fees or whatever it was. So I had no intention of going there because I didn't want to out myself, right? To be like, hey, this the poor kid that can't afford college. To me, that was so, like, demeaning and so, you know, overwhelmingly, I guess I had a sense of shame, and I didn't want people to know that, like, I couldn't afford college, because in my mind, everyone that was at school could afford college.
Yeah. So interesting, right?
Yeah.
So what happened? So you went to the military for 4 years.
Yeah.
You just stayed for 4 years, right?
Yeah.
And then how did you end up like going about trying to figure out what was your next step?
Yeah. So through my time in the military, I joined the Coast Guard and I did fairly well. I moved up the ranks very quickly, and I spoke to a lot of folks and they were like, you know what, you'd be really good as an officer. So my plan was to go to college to obtain a degree to then go back into the military as an officer. So after my 4 years were done, I think through that time, I looked at doing some of the online courses that they offered through the military. I don't even remember the name of them now. But there was a number of degree fields that you could take classes in, and I just wasn't interested in any of them. And just knowing myself, I wouldn't be successful in those things. So I didn't take any of those online courses. But something that I vividly remember my freshman years after I got out, so my second freshman year, was that like I was really intent on having any of my military experience count for credit in college, which looking back was a huge waste of time, because what it ultimately did was take out electives that really could have fortified my experience in college. And for me, my mindset was, I'm trying to get this done as quickly as possible. These credits are going to help me further in my education and getting out as fast as I can. But ultimately, like, I worked in communications and I worked in search and rescue and like working with classified materials, and that didn't necessarily help me at all. I didn't get any communication credit. I don't even know what it was. I think it was called like a military credit or something. So I think maybe I got 8 of them. I don't know. It wasn't a large amount, but it was enough for me to like not take some classes and things that maybe I was interested in. So.
Yeah, I think that's a really common problem with like veteran students, mm-hmm. for sure, with like credits, and then it complicates the process at every institution if they go to multiple and.
Right. Well, I think there's the assumption that, you know, the experiences that I have are going to count for something, mm-hmm. and I want them to count for something. But ultimately, what I found is that my end goal was to graduate with a degree. Coming in with credits that didn't fit that degree weren't helpful at all.
Right.
Because no one ever tells you that you need to do course mapping, right? Or you need to do your major mapping. It was just like, I need X amount of credits, right, to get a degree. I need 90 credits or 60 credits or whatever the case may be. So I was focused on that number, not knowing that those extra credits that I received kind of fudged up, you know, my degree in some ways, and then I needed to take more classes. I wound up paying for them. So I think talking to a lot of my military friends, they who have gone to college, there was this same kind of assumption. And I don't know necessarily where that comes from. I think maybe it's the, on some level, the promise of you will receive college credit for your experience in the military. And that's like a selling point. And then when we're trying to cash that in to say, hey, we're going to get these credits, they're kind of meaningless. Unless, you know, you're, I suppose, in a very technical field, maybe something within engineering that you can kind of relate those experiences to some sort of credit. But again, my minor was in communications. I worked in communications and it didn't help me at all.
That's really interesting. Okay, so when you decided to go back into college after the military, how did you go about like picking your college then?
Yeah, super interesting. It wasn't a very, like, again, it wasn't a really thought out process. I was like, where are a lot of my friends at? I've been to Florida State before. I visited friends there. I like the school. So that's where I decided to go. It was kind of that simple. And funny enough, this was my research topic in grad school of why veterans choose the college that they ultimately decide to go to. And what I found is that a lot of folks are in a similar boat. they're choosing the college for a number of reasons. It's close to their family at home. It's, you know, where their friends are going to college. They visited it on some level. And really, when you're coming out of the military, you kind of have a blank slate. You can go wherever you want. But I think it's those ties that kind of push folks in a certain direction. And, you know, I didn't have children. I wasn't married. So that wasn't a reason for me to choose a specific college. It was more so of like, where are the folks that I have relationships with, that I care about? Where are they at school? And sure, I can go there. The GI Bill will pay for it. Perfect.
Awesome. So you started off at a community college, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what was your initial major when you first started college, like when you were like 18, 19? And then how has that changed over time?
Yeah, I guess my first initial, well, I don't even know if I even had a major at that point. What I really wanted to do is become a doctor. I wanted to be an orthopedic surgeon. That was my goal. That's what I wanted to go to college to do. And again, I made like a series of mistakes. I remember I was taking a college success class, and I made a C in college success. And I remember my professor vividly, I asked if I could turn in an assignment late. I was not making it to 9 o'clock class by any means, but I asked him, he said no. And he told me, you're not going to be successful in college. This isn't going to go well for you. And he had a master's in athletic training or something. Sports medicine is what it was called at this place. And I remember that like stung me really bad. And I was like, there's no way, like, I'm going to beat this guy. Ultimately, I made a D in right and I joined the military. So maybe he was right in some ways. But ultimately, when I came back, got out of the military, I wanted to pursue continue my degree in medicine. I took some classes. Actually, I took a lot of classes in the I guess you can call it pre-med or med track. But I kind of started to think, I don't necessarily want to do this. So I started to think, what else am I really interested in? And I was super interested in sports and athletics. And we had an athletic trainer at my high school. And I was like, you know what? I think I'd really be interested in doing this. So at my community college, I wound up shadowing our athletic trainer for the college. And, you know, working with him and having that experience really opened my eyes to what this job was and what it wasn't. He was the only person that worked in his office. He worked by himself all day long until athletes went in there. And he talked about how lonely he was and how he had to like do everything. He was in charge of like purchasing. He was in charge of, you know, making sure athletes were coming in on time, and that all of these things that I didn't see. I thought, you know, I'm just there going to be with athletes and it's going to be fun. And lucky enough, I had a friend who knew someone at another college who was a professor, and I got to shadow and go to kind of a class to kind of see what it would look like. And I found it very interesting. I got to go back. I got to see like, you know, really cool things, real rehabilitation tanks, like all kind of cool stuff. But what really stuck out in my mind is that this individual that I spoke to, that I, you know, shadowed, his experience was probably the more common experience, because athletic trainers, from, you know, what he was telling me, is to work for a professional team, that's like the pinnacle of the, you know, profession. And there are not going to be a lot of those opportunities. The vast majority of the opportunities would be more similar to his. And that didn't appeal to me at all. So at that point, I was like, oh, I'm going to have to change my major again. I was at a community college with a strong nursing program. So I was like, hey, I've taken a lot of prerequisites in the medical field or in the pre-med degree. A lot of them will work for me to get into nursing school. Cool, I'll go on that track. So I continued. I took all the classes that I needed for it. I thought I was going to be a very competitive candidate. I had a very high GPA, I think 3.9 or something at that point. And I didn't get in. And I didn't get into the community college, and I didn't get into the university either. And that was like kind of the first realization of like, okay, I think my experiences are fairly unique. I don't know how many folks have, you know, come to this particular school as a veteran who's done really well post, you know, military life. And I didn't even like, I don't know, make the wait list. And that was like a hard pill to swallow for me. So at that point, I had to like readjust again. What am I going to do? And I'm lucky that, you know, a lot of my community college credits would work for psychology. In high school, psychology was something that I was interested in. It was understanding how and why things work is very interesting to me. So going into psychology, I was like, sure, I'm interested in this. My credits work. This is a made deal. So at that point, went through with psychology and
And that's how you ended up with your bachelor's degree.
Yeah, right? That's how I ended up with my bachelor's degree.
So, I'm curious as how you decided to go into, like, so you went to master's right after your bachelor's degree, right?
Yep.
So how did you end up figuring out about your next step, I guess?
Yeah, another pretty interesting story, I suppose. I think I said this earlier, is my first freshman year of college, I was not involved at all. I didn't do anything on campus. I kind of just went and went home. When I was at Florida State, I was involved with a lot of things. I was involved in Greek life. I was involved with our student veteran organization, our HLSU, like a ton of different things on campus. And I was lucky enough to get invited to participate in a leadership retreat. And I met someone kind of who changed my whole perspective. Her name is Dr. Laura Osteen, and she was the lead facilitator of the leadership retreat for us at Florida State that year. And she like made a huge impact on me. I remember vividly sitting with her in her office one day after we came back from the retreat, and I had to ask, like, what exactly do you do? I think she kind of looked at me and smiled, and she was like, well, I work in student affairs. And I'm like, I mean, I understand that on some level, but how do you work at a school and you're not a professor? And, you know, she kind of let me know that student affairs was the profession and that kind of encompassed everything outside of the academic realm. And she, you know, sat me down and she was like, Carlos, like, you're involved in Greek life. You're involved with our multicultural offices. You're involved with veterans. All of these things that you enjoy doing, that you have passion for, are all student affair related jobs. And at that point, she basically sold me. I was like, this is amazing, right? And like her job in particular, where she worked in developing leaders and really working with, you know, the multicultural office. Like, I'm like, this is amazing. So I talked to her more and, you know, she kind of sat me down one day and she's like, hey, I know you're planning on applying at Florida State. You should look at applying at the University of Maryland too. It's a pretty good school. You know, I think you might like it. And, you know, at this point I'm like, sure, whatever. Right.
Did you trust her at this point?
So we had developed a really, really good relationship. Yeah. And I was like, okay, I'll apply. You know, and applying for grad school is its own beast in and of itself, GREs and all those things. But I applied to Florida State and I applied to University of Maryland. And luckily enough, I was able to get into both schools. And it was just really a decision of where do I want to go and what do I want to do? So.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks. Thinking back on your college experience, and I'm kind of thinking more of undergrad, what was an experience that you just remember being really impactful for you that really like it was just meaningful?
Yeah. I can kind of think of two in particular.
Same, both.
And one maybe is not a positive experience and one was certainly a positive experience. And the one I would say is not so positive is that realization that like I'm not ready for college and to tell my family that, hey, I'm not going to go through with school. I need to do something else. My family was really disappointed. you know, they were thinking like, you're throwing your life away, right? You have this great opportunity and you're just not going to go to college. Like, they couldn't understand it. And they made good points. And on some level, I couldn't understand it either. But I just knew that, like, college at that point in that time was not a good solution or an experience for me. And I would say one of the most positive experiences was my experience through leadership. I met so many folks who were leaders on our campus, who did amazing things. I met like the person who would become the president of the student body president. I met multiple presidents of organizations, and that really like opened my eyes and gave me a glimpse into kind of people who were really high achieving and who were going to do great things. I mean, that was a source of motivation for me. Mm-hmm. And then obviously that's where I met Dr. Osteen, and you know, that kind of changed my trajectory for sure. But you know, those are two that definitely stick out in my mind. One, maybe not so great, and one that was certainly a positive experience.
Yeah. So thinking about like leadership, obviously it's around like leadership and developing your leadership, something, you know, to that effect. I would imagine a lot of institutions have something like that, even if it's not like the week long. So leadership is like a week long, right?
Yeah.
But they might have some kind of leadership components or leadership something.
Yeah.
So what would you say, I guess, if there is something like that on a student's campus who is listening to this right now, what would you say to a student who says, I'm not a leader?
I think, you know, I've had the good fortune to be able to go to schools and learn a lot about like leadership development. And I would say, you know, there is, in my opinion, my humble opinion, no such like thing, right? Like, just because you aren't the president of your club doesn't mean you're not a leader. You can be a leader in several different ways, just because you're not an RA or just because you're not, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
You can take up leadership opportunities in a number of different ways. And I also think that, you know, leadership is about like doing the things that inspire you and that you get, you know, enjoyment out of. Because I have folks, students on my staff right now who inspire me, who lead me. And it has nothing to do with, you know, title or anything like that. I supervise them, right? Like, if anything, it should be converse. But, you know, I think that taking opportunities and taking risks in college and going out on a limb, I think of when I first went to school and I was involved with nothing. And the experience that I had, and then the rich and fulfilling experience that I had the second time when I went to school and I was involved with a lot of things, like I can't even compare the two. And I would just say that, you know, if there are things that you're interested in, to take advantage of those, right? Like, I don't know, every, you know, university or every college is going to have different experiences, but I'm almost certain that at every college, there's a way to get involved with something that you are interested in. And this is about sometimes just taking that first step of emailing that person that you have no idea who it is and just asking, hey, when do you meet? And what is this organization about? Because I think oftentimes we put this, you know, expectation and we put these barriers up in front of us that we're going to be emailing someone or calling someone who is going to be really high at the school. And that's not the case. The vast majority of organizations on campus are student-run. You're going to be emailing another student. You're going to call another student who's going to be more than willing and more than excited to talk to you about the things that they're doing. So I would say, like, it's about, for me, it's about involvement. Getting involved, finding out what you like, finding out what you don't like. And I think through my experiences throughout college, I found out things that I did not want to do. 100%. I found out that I did not want to be an athletic trainer. I, at one point, thought I wanted to do sports psychology. I interned in a sports psychology office and found out I do not want to do this. And I think through organizations, like, a key that I think a lot of folks don't talk about is networking at school. the people that you meet can and will have a vast impact on you, a profound impact. And I think the folks that you know, they may know someone who can help you, right? I want to get involved with, ice skating at my school. I live in Florida. Okay, that's probably not going to happen. But I know someone who knows someone who's on the, roller skating team or roller hockey team. And there's that opportunity. It may not be the exact thing that you want, but it can be something very similar. And it's really incredible, like, who you can meet and how those experiences and how those connections can really, push you in times when you're feeling low, or, continue to enrich and give meaning and a lot of fulfillment into the things that you're doing at school.
Yeah, that's so true. And I think sometimes students don't even know what they want to do. And so it's about just kind of putting yourself out there and kind of learning and growing. Like, I know one time I did a fencing thing and I felt super uncomfortable, but I laughed the entire time. I never went back, but like I went one time and I did the fencing. It was so much fun, but that's not for me. And so it's also okay to put yourself out there and try something. And if it doesn't work out, that's okay. It's part of life in the process. Yeah. And I think sometimes students struggle with that so much.
Yeah. I would say similarly, my thoughts of Greek life as a freshman, something I never wanted to do. I thought, I'm not paying for friends. I barely have enough money to go to school now. This is dumb. But as I went to the military, something that was super important to me was having that team and having that close-knit group of friends who have the same understanding, who've gone through some similar experiences, who you didn't always have to explain everything to. And when I got out of the military, that's something that I was seeking and searching for that it was hard for me to find. And when I joined my fraternity, I had that same core group of individuals, that group of friends who kind of not necessarily replaced, but it fulfilled that need for me of wanting to have that close group. And it's just interesting. I had this very, very narrow perception of what it was, but really it was more than I could have expected in a positive way. So I think sometimes we allow ourselves to go off of some preconceived notions of what an experience may be. We go in thinking this is going to be terrible, so I'm not even going to go. But then if I would have went, it would have been amazing. When I think of times they would have fairs at my school and I'm like, I am not going over there. I'm not waiting in line. I'm not that to me, I didn't want that at all. But I found out that's when I met the most people. That's when I found out I wasn't the only person feeling this way. We're all awkward standing in this circle or standing in this line, trying to figure out what we're doing here. And I think for me, I was under the perception that everyone had it figured out, which I now know no one has it figured out.
As grown-ups.
Yeah. Or maybe very few people. I think sometimes we are our own biggest barriers to a lot of things in college.
Yeah. Was there any time that you remember that you felt really uncomfortable or you stepped outside of your comfort zone, but then it ended up working out really well, or maybe even it didn't?
I would say that I was a fairly shy person my freshman year of college. So my first freshman year of college, I had always had a large group of friends in high school. And when I went to college, I didn't know how to make new friends. And that was weird to me. I just always had friends around before. And now I had to try. And that was super weird. So anytime there'd be big social gatherings where people would be around, I'd probably be the guy in the back, fiddling with my fingers, probably looking super disinterested in being there, if I even went at all, because I was so overwhelmed by the thought that everyone had it together. And then I kind of went to school again with my own baggage, right? I was a first generation student. I didn't have, an incredible wealth of, finances or knowledge from my family. So I was I felt like I was masquerading as a college student instead of being a college student. because everyone else looked like they knew what they were doing. And maybe I did too to other people, but I certainly had no clue. I was lost.
Yeah. So you've kind of already talked about like some of your challenges that you've experienced. So if you have another one, you can feel free to share. But I would be curious is like, what did you like learn from some of the challenges that you've had in college? Like, what are some things that you feel like you took away that you still hold on to as, an adult, grown up?
That's a good question. I think challenges that I had in college, some of them were from my own doing, but a lot of them, I come to think, were because I was ignorant of the system. Like, I had no clue whatsoever. I think of things as simple now as, like, registering for class. Like, I had no clue. I would choose the classes that I took based upon the classes that my roommate had taken the year before. Mm-hmm. And that was for a couple of reasons. One, we had the same major, and he kind of was like, we'll say he was a little ahead of me in terms of our course tracking. And two, I didn't have money to pay for books. So when he was done with his books, I chose that same class so I can get his books. And I remember I took like a gen psychology class, and I chose it because the course selection was psi something. And I was like, okay, this has to be psychology. This is the same time that my friend took it last semester. It has to be the same class. I go the first day of class with this general psychology book, and the professor starts talking, and this class is actually named, Child Growth and Development. And I was like, what is happening here? And at that point, again, I didn't know how to drop a class. I didn't know what I was supposed to do, so I just sat in the class with the wrong book. I never did any of the readings because I didn't have the book. And I just sat there, super embarrassed, hoping that no one would ever call on me. And at one point, I think I talked to the professor. She's like, are you not doing any of your work? And I said, I don't have the book. And she was like, what do you mean? You come in here with a book every class period. I'm like, I think it's a wrong book because, you're telling me chapter 6 is this. This is not what's at chapter 6 here.
Right.
And she was actually the person that said, hey, you need to withdraw this class. You've not done a lot of this work. You're going to get a bad grade. So she had to walk me through how to withdraw. So I just things as small as that or as large as like financial aid, because in my opinion now as someone who works at a college, like finances have such a big impact on students. You, in my opinion, you can't study knowing that you can't pay for class. You can't feel safe in your home knowing, or your residence hall or your apartment thinking, I don't have enough money to pay for rent. I don't know how I'm going to eat. That has a direct impact on your ability to perform well, right? If I'm thinking about like my basic needs, there's no way you can ask me to do something in physics, right? Like I can read it, but like I'm more concerned about how I'm going to eat, how I'm going to pay, how I'm going to do these things. So I had to learn a bunch of very, I think, simple lessons that we think that we, being people who work in college, that we think that students know. And I didn't know anything, not even the most basic of things. I don't know how folks learn that without asking questions, right? Or having a mentor or having someone on campus that we can go to and say, hey, I don't know how to get to the dining hall, or I don't even know how to get a meal to work, or, I don't know how to register for class or any of those things. Mm-hmm. I just think that there has to be a way that we can, teach students those things whose parents have not, or who don't have that experience of being able to ask someone. Yeah. 'Cause that was 100% me. And I was like, I don't know. I just don't know.
Yeah. Thank you. So I guess, just kind of to wrap up, what would be like 1 to 2 pieces of advice that you would give to college students who are current college students that you either wish that you would have known or done when you were in college?
So I would say that the first one, I think it's again related to finances, is apply to scholarships, get your FAFSA in early, January 1st, have it done.
Well, it opens at October 15th now, I think, or October 1st.
Well, do it as soon as you can. Because you get the largest return on your money, like, or on your application. I would say, number one, that. Other things, I would say, explore your campus. Like, there are a ton of experiences that you can get. If you, given your school, if you have a gym, if you look at the bulletin boards, there'll be a ton of stuff. I remember in maybe my junior or senior year of college, there was a bulletin board that was outside of one of my classes that I never paid attention to. It just had a bunch of like random flyers on there that I thought were nonsense. Class started, I got there early, and I needed to wait. So I sat outside and I read these flyers, and they were like, you can work in a research study or you can be a participant in a research study. They're paying you $200 for like a one-time experience. And I was like, what? I could have been getting paid for like giving 1 hour of my time. Like, there's so many opportunities, and you never know what that opportunity or what that experience, what doors that may open. Maybe you work with a professor through one of those experiences who then like you connect with, and you're able to work with them, or you're able to take a class that maybe technically aren't, you know, eligible for. Like, there's a lot of opportunities that come from sometimes these, I guess we can say, innocuous experiences, or, you know, you just happen upon something. I don't know. I would say give everything a try, because there's so much that's happening at school. Sometimes it can be overwhelming. The school I work at now, we have over 500 clubs on campus, right? And to say that you should try every one of the 500 clubs would be, you know, intense and overwhelming, to say the least. But I would say get out there. If there's something that you are interested in, it's photography, I'm almost certain that there's a group of students on your campus who are also interested in photography. You can hone your skills. You can meet people. You can do something that you're passionate about that may be outside of your major. I think these are conversations that I have fairly frequently with students, even on my own campus now. I would say the other piece of advice I would give is really to find out what you're interested in and then pursue that. I think through my experience, I came from a place where we only thought there were a couple of professions, right? You could be a doctor, you could be a teacher, you could be a lawyer, you could be like an engineer. I had no clue you could be any other thing outside of that. When I went to college and, you know, people, there was art. I was like, you can get a degree in art? Like, that's crazy. Or you can get a degree in, you know, I don't know, there's so many degrees, in music. And like, you can be a teacher, yes, but you also can be a student counselor. You can be a counselor. Like, there are so many opportunities. And I think it's about finding out what do you care about and what are you interested in, and forging that path. Because I think oftentimes, right, sometimes we are fooled into thinking, I'm going to just pick the major that's going to give me the most money. Sure, right? Like, yeah, we can do that. But if it's not fulfilling, if I want to be an engineer, but I hate math and I hate science, it's going to be very difficult for me to get through engineering school. It just is, right? Because all of my classes are going to be predicated around these courses and this foundation that I have no interest in. Or maybe I don't like it. And maybe I'm really interested in advertising. Maybe that's my passion area instead of, you know, being an aerospace engineer. And I think, you know, sometimes we are pressured from our family for certain reasons, right? You should do this because of this reason. And that's fine. But at the end of the day, like, you are the master of your own ship, right? Your parents, after you get your degree, they don't care what your degree is anymore. I would say, like, find a thing that you want to do and you do that. Because if not, you're going to be stuck doing some things that you don't necessarily care about or have interest in. And it's not going to be beneficial for you in the least.
Well, thank you so much. You were amazing. Thank you so much for listening to the College Life Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please don't forget to subscribe. Have an excellent week.